What did you think about the fact that this is the first time that you physically have been to SEMA?
I enjoyed it. I thought it was cool. It's definitely a cool experience in my eyes. You know, I like seeing the crazy bills that they bring.
Yeah. So in addition to like just the cars, though, like, is there something there or the thing, anything that you saw there or maybe the size of things? You really didn't get to walk the show.
I didn't get to walk much of the show. I did get to walk the South Hall. One thing I did notice, there wasn't a lot of big name wheel brands there.
Yeah.
I did notice that, but I did get to walk the South Hall.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's like that. I think that was probably the comment that was given the most is the lack of, especially wheel companies within the South Hall, yeah. Right? So I think there's a lot of reasons that you're starting to see a lot of the bigger brands mm-hmm. remove themselves from the show.
Yeah.
However, you know, look, I mean, SEMA, SEMA claims that they're at pre-pandemic attendance numbers, which is honestly a really good spot for the show to be at.
For sure.
I think for some, depending on where you were standing within that show, may argue the fact that the traffic was way lighter than they had remembered
previous years
and pre-pandemic.
Yeah.
So I think that's a sliding scale. I think the one thing with data, when a SEMA show, they'll be able to use the data that they have, and they'll be able to say confidently, like, yeah, like vendor space is up, this space is down, these number of exhibitors were up, you know, like they'll be able to give you all that data. You know, I tend to feel that when it comes down to data, there's a way that you can present data that everything always looks really good. I'm not saying they're doing that. I'm just saying that, you know, I mean, from my position in South Hall, it was a very difficult thing to measure. One, like the South Hall used to be the Rockin' Hall. Mm-hmm. That's where the body paint rolled out on models. That's where the cool cars were. That's where the noise was. All the cool brands, the good giveaways, all the cool kids, they were in South Hall Lower. Mm-hmm. And then there was always obviously Central Hall, which is the performance hall that everybody wanted to get to. So those halls usually were always like really rocking. That was like a lot of the heart of, you know, the show. But then, you know, that seems to have greatly changed.
It definitely felt like it. Well, I don't want to say it definitely felt like it changed since I haven't been there before, but it definitely was a little bit different to see the South Hall not really have as big name brands in there.
Yeah, so you get there and like you're looking around and it just feels like, all right, well, we got a few solid brands.
Yeah, definitely saw a few solid brands in there. I did notice there were a couple of brands outside displaying, but
yeah, and that usually happens when there's multiple, like where
multiple
was your
booth areas, right?
Yeah, like what other brands did you see that you were running into that?
What, seeing
like,
them
you saw outside? Do you remember anything?
I know the Hoonigan booth, they had all of their display outside. I saw a couple of the truck companies. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely did see a few wheel displays outside.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, SEMA also brought along with it the change in name from Wheel Pros. Wheel Pros is not Wheel Pros anymore. They're formally, as a company, they're Hoonigan.
Yes.
So
they had all of their brands pretty much displayed outside.
Yeah, but they didn't have a lot of space, right?
They had a lot of cars displayed.
Yeah, but like they didn't have their product on display. They have too many brands.
Yeah, no, definitely not all of their product, but they definitely kept some of their main brands out there.
Yeah. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how that whole thing interweaves with, you know, Hoonigan as a brand.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting to see.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think that the show is it's an interesting piece. I think it's going to be tough. I think for a lot of brands, the big brands, the reason you're starting to see them not attend the show is arguably when you get to a certain state. Well, let me back up for a second. I think that if your company or your brand is in a certain stage of the life cycle, mm-hmm. right? Infancy, growth, and maybe still in that situation where you're just short of maturity, I think in that side of the deviation there, I think SEMA is a fantastic show incredible opportunities for your company.
For sure.
I think that if you're a company that's domestic to the U.S. or Canada and you intend to get international dealers without having to travel internationally, I think the SEMA show can be an incredible show for your company.
For sure. I could agree with that.
I think if you're in the maturity stage, I think if you're in a stage where you're maybe not looking to open dealers, you're looking for the ability to, you know, show your dealers what you have. You're looking for the ability to touch the base with a lot of the different retailers that may buy your product through other customers, mm-hmm. right? Like, for example, you know, maybe they buy it through Turn 14. So, you know, so Turn 14 is your customer, but like their customers are also attending the show as a retail show or whatever it is. So
I feel like I noticed that a lot this year.
Yeah. And I think that that's been overwhelmingly more the case.
I feel like that number probably increases every year with the more and more.
Yeah. I mean, I think that that's just the nature of where a business is at right now.
For sure. Yeah.
So I think if you're looking to be in that stage, I think that the SEMA show is still a good show for you to display with. However, I think if you're coming there and your plan is to display to generate an ROI, to generate a return on investment for your brand, and your brand is established, mm-hmm. meaning that you are not going there with the expectation to open up new customers.
Yeah, you're going there expectations to show new product, meet up with...
answer questions, be able to display your new product or touch, you know, have people touch your product that are your existing customers or for customers that you may hope and feel will buy your product through maybe another wholesaler, right?
Yep.
That's where I think things get dicey, right? Because, so let's look at this real quick. This is why I think you've seen so many big brands remove themselves from the SEMA show.
Okay.
One, I think you're looking at an economy that since the pandemic has just been a roller coaster.
Yeah.
Okay. And so that's primarily there a lot of what the actionable fallout has, that's where it's taken place. Mm-hmm. Additionally to that, I think that you have the issue of brands that were at a maturity level where they didn't do business at the show anymore or had an intangible perception of what that return on their investment was, I think they had this overwhelming thing, this FOMO,
uh-huh.
right? Yeah. Like, if I don't go, my business is going to fall apart. Or if I don't go, other companies or brands are going to use this as a way of saying that my company is doing poorly. And because of that, we couldn't come. I think there was a lot of FOMO there.
I could see where you're going with that.
And I think those companies were able to ease their FOMO in the years that maybe they didn't or couldn't display because of the pandemic. So that chip that they carried on their shoulder, chip is not the right word, but that weight that they carried on their shoulder, I think they were eased with it. And it's like, you know what? We can get away without doing this. That's a lot of money to spend on the show.
Yeah, it's definitely a good chunk. It's a large budget for that.
Yeah, I mean, for people that don't know that are out there, it costs a grip of money. And, you know, look, it's not just SEMA. I think they get a bad rap for this. SEMA show, I mean, look, they rent out on a lease type of deal the entire convention center. Las Vegas Convention Center is ginormous.
It is massive. That was the first time I've been there.
I think the number you'll hear is like 1.2 million square feet, but I believe it's actually more than that when you start to add in the nooks and crannies and stuff. But like let's say it is 1.2 million square feet of vendor display. I heard the number that West Hall itself was 1.2 million square feet. So that's why I don't know that I agree with the number.
That is strange. But I've definitely heard that even if you are walking around the whole show, I don't think you're able to see the whole entire show
well,
within the what, 3 days? Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday?
So, 4 days. So I think it depends. Like, I think that if you're going to literally zigzag every single aisle and you plan not to stop and look, not to stop and talk, I think you can get through the show.
What's the fun in that?
No, there isn't. And arguably, I'll say that that isn't a smart way for people to experience the show.
No, definitely not.
Like, you, SEMA does a fantastic job about having a website that lists every single dealer that has purchased a booth, where those booths are, which halls are in, what's going on. I think it's a duty for every buyer and every retailer that's going to this show to make a list of all the companies that they hope to see, visit, chat with, whatever, and put that stuff down so you can map yourself out a pathway. If you do that, you could say, oh, I'm going to need a whole day in this hall, so I'll do just these exhibitors today. Mm-hmm. And vice versa. You move that all the way
around. Wherever you're going.
So I also think that the one thing that maybe isn't thought of so much when people hear the term SEMA show, mm-hmm, is the fact that they offer a tremendous amount of educational opportunities at the show. There's a ton of classes there. iCar classes, you know, the 8S classes, which, you know, give you a lot of the different data. So whether it be, you know, marketing classes, I mean, they give you panels.
Wow, that's the first I've heard of that.
Yeah, I mean, there's tons of it. So that stuff's all there, and they have an open schedule that's there. And literally every half an hour, all week long that the show is open, there's tons of things going on in multiple meeting rooms at the same time. So anyhow, I think that the show offers quite a bit of assets for a lot of different people and different things like that. Now, I think the reason you're starting to see brands not show up is because when it costs that much money, it's a lot.
Do you get the return?
Yeah, you know, and it's a really intangible thing. I mean, even for us, we have now downsized to the smallest space that we can hold and still display at the show. I refuse to let us do a 10 by 10 or one of those little booths that look like we're traveling, you know, we're selling soup off the side of the road. Like
selling vacuum cleaners door to door.
Oh, my God. Get the Hoover. I think that we're, you know, we were in a 30 by 30, and I think that's the smallest we possibly can go. It cannot go any smaller, period. And I think, you know, ultimately we're just trying to mitigate how much it costs. For people that don't have an idea, not only does SEMA the actual square footage, and I think this is where I was starting to go before my little tirade here.
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah. Not only does SEMA themselves cost a lot of money, but in reality, remember, they're renting out the entire convention center. So, like, you know, whether they got to make some money on the booth there, like, you know, you're going to have to pay for that space.
I can tell you this. They definitely made money on the food court.
well, I don't know. I don't know contractually how that works. I don't even know if they make any of the money from the food.
All I know is, you know what? Let's not get into that. We don't need to get into that.
Well, it's like going to any other show, right?
Yeah, but like
any other airport.
Like I had a sandwich. I think it was like that big, maybe. Yeah. I think it was like $15.
Was it delicious?
No.
I think we'll say yes.
We'll say yes just for the sake of.
but look. So aside from the food, I think that. You know, whatever SEMA charges for a booth space, I think you could chalk that up to the fact that there's expenses with running a show, yada, yada, yada.
Of course.
Booth space, whatever. Where it gets really difficult, and I think this is not necessarily just Las Vegas, but in a lot of the show, you know, and again, I'm not knocking on unions, but for example, let's say hypothetically the freight door is 20 feet that way. And you need to bring your items from that freight door to right here where you're gonna set up.
Okay, I know.
Just with a forklift, one forklift. Yep. Just gonna, you know.
I know where you're going with this.
You know, you're talking about. I think we had two crates, two pallets of wheels.
That was it.
Yeah, and whatever drayage that you get charged, you charge by the pound. Whatever weight that you have. Like things for like where carpet was put down, or for the, you know, the little closet area, the furniture, whatever it was. I mean, you're talking about $9,000 to $13,000 to move it 30 feet, because you charge there and back.
Yep.
Now, look, I mean, you know, you can make an argument that that's what the union's there. I mean, they talk about having electrician. You can't use a ladder at SEMA. You can't do anything electrical in SEMA, you know. And when we say electrical, I want people to be very clear. Electrical is an extension cord.
Yeah.
All right. Again. I don't want people to think that when I say electrical, that we're means
they're hanging wires.
Or you know.
Yep. Nope.
Nope. No, we're talking about. Can't do that. You know what I mean? So like so I just think that you start to add all these costs up, every little thing, you know. You need help from somebody, you can't use a ladder, so you ask them to bring over a ladder, you pay an hour.
Yeah.
They're there for 3 minutes with a ladder.
You still hour. Get paid the hour. That's the union.
You need
work.
two guys. All right. No problem. I even think that in a union sense, that is understood and warranted. I don't think anybody really qualms at that.
Yeah, I don't.
And I'm not saying that it should be free to move stuff in. I just think when you start adding all these costs together.
Reasonable.
Right. And the city was insanely expensive this year.
Yeah.
Hotel rooms, food, Ubers. Right?
The Uber from the airport to the convention center was $60.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about a few miles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what about the one that we had from that Richie had from the convention center to the hotel? It was like $64, and it's only 1.3 miles away.
So that was how much it was on Uber, and then we switched over to Lyft. And Lyft had dropped the price, I think, down to like $40, but it was still ridiculous beyond me. Like, I even looked at the guys, and I was just like, do you guys just want to walk this? And they were like, no, we're going to wait.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, I get it, long day, but.
So, I don't know. I mean, one of the things I think that I've heard over and over and over again from a lot of different brands and a lot of different buyers and a lot of different media and people that have been to the show many years prior is, so what's the deal? Like, is SEMA on its way out? Is it over?
You would know that versus me. You've definitely seen either the increase or decline over the years. You've been, how many years have you been going to SEMA now?
I think this was 18.
That was 18 for you?
I think this is 18. It might be 17.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, no, I get it.
It's hard for me to gauge. Like, don't get me wrong, I had a great time. I love seeing the quality builds. I love seeing, you know, all the brands out there all in one.
Yep.
But, you know, for judging from South Hall, I thought I was going to see a lot more big-name wheel brands in there.
There wasn't much there.
That was probably the one thing that I was let down on.
Yeah, and, you know, it's starting, for me, at least South Hall Lower is starting to feel just very empty.
Mm-hmm.
Not empty in the sense of like not having people or thing, but like there's no soul there anymore. There's no like, yeah, like you used to walk into the hall and there was a buzz.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't felt that in a while, but especially this year. This year was not well. You know, a couple other things that I think is interesting. SEMA has started something called SEMA Fest.
Yeah.
This is the first year for that.
I think it was. I saw some videos on Instagram on it.
I think it was like, I don't know what it was, what the best thing. It's almost like if it's like an exhibition music festival kind of thing. Tying that.
Ludacris was there.
Was he?
Yeah, Ludacris was there.
Well, I'm glad he was somewhere.
Yeah.
And, I like Ludacris.
I do too.
Yeah. I mean, his music maybe back in the early 2000s. I'm just talking about.
We're on the same page. We're talking like, early 2000s Ludacris.
Like, listen, any player that's been consistently supporting our industry for a long time, like Ludacris has been.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? I mean, certainly T-Pain.
Yeah, T-Pain has been big in the drift scene.
And not even just the drift scene. I mean, he's such a cool guy.
Yeah. He's the man. I definitely have a complete new respect for T-Pain.
Yep.
I never hated him. I always liked him even back in the day.
Oh,
but
I love
like
him.
Just like the level of respect for him after just like, I wanted to go drift. Let me go do it. Like, I love it.
I met him for the first time. It has to be 10 years ago, 11 years ago at SEMA.
In Wisconsin?
Not at SEMA. At SEMA.
Sorry. That was a terrible joke.
Yeah. No, but I met him at SEMA in a booth, and he was just super chill, and he was really fun, and he's kind of always been kind of a car guy, and the fact that, you know, he's teamed up with Hurt now, and they've developed the Happy Boy Automotive. And the fact that he's out at these Grid Life events, and you know, and he's out there, and he's, and you know, the difference is there's people that are out there because they're contractually obligated to be there. Mm-hmm. And he's out there because he just loves it so much. And I, you know, like I respect this dude to no end.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. Especially like what they're doing in like F1 now. I feel like it's like the popularity, like, and just famous people just want to go to be seen and mm-hmm. like interviewed, but they're just like nowhere near into it at all.
The good news is that one thing about our segment is you don't ever have to worry about coming to one of our events with the, because you want to be seen. Right?
Very true.
But I love every minute. I love every bit of it. And so you know, as far as this year goes, I think it's extremely difficult for us to make a judgment call on whether it was worth it or not for us. Now, the reason I say that is because we had a lot of great meetings with a lot of great people. And I think that could you change, you know, basically, could you change, like, have those meetings throughout the year in another respect? Absolutely.
100%.
However, there is some sort of element to the show that makes things quite different. Sorry about that.
It's okay.
Yeah. It was a hiccup.
It's a hiccup.
I wanted to be very clear for anybody that's not watching me. I don't want them to think that, like, you know. Anyhow, so I think it makes it difficult. I think we have to think about how we're going to use the SEMA show as a tool and how we display. I think that a lot of other brands, unfortunately, are going to continue to downsize and remove themselves from the show, at least intermittently. Mm-hmm. At least intermittently. I don't know that I think you're never, like, I think you're going to have some brands that maybe you're going to get into an, you know, every other year kind of thing. You know, I think that the show itself is still valid and good. I think the issue really comes down to is that the way that you're doing business is very different than it has been. And I think it will continue to be that way. Anyhow, so I don't know. I think that, you know, when it comes down to shows like this, I think that there's going to be this sliding scale of intangibility to whether vendors feel that it's worth being there. And I think that ultimately that will drive whether the show gets bigger or smaller or more important or less important. I think that there's a lot of things that I believe SEMA as an organization can do to further the opportunity for that show to continue to soar. Mm-hmm. I also think, because you have to remember that SEMA is an organization,
yes,
for our industry. Mm-hmm. And the SEMA show is an event that they put on as a trade show. So they're the same, but they're not one and the same.
Yeah.
So, you know, do I think that there's some things that they could do, maybe a better job, change some directions, modify kind of how the show exists, and possibly really increase the value for exhibitors to come back or display there, or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I do. I absolutely do. But the one thing that I'm extremely understanding of is the fact that SEMA is controlled by a board, right? And when, you know, SEMA themselves as an organization doesn't make all the final decisions.
Yeah, you're right.
They're run by a board of elected, you know, board members, and they all have to vote on that type of thing. So it's always going to be like, you know, everybody puts the blame on SEMA for certain things when it doesn't go right. But, you know, there's a lot more going on there. And I think it's unfair to think that they can just up and make everything just change the way that they feel it should. They don't always have the most control in every single aspect. So it's that. I wonder what this year means for next year.
You know? The only thing we could really do is just wait and see.
I guess, but it's hard because, you know, it's
definitely hard.
It still is a lot of money. You really do have to decide.
100%.
It's, man, it's crazy. I mean, we've probably been to this show for like 39 years. So 39, 40 years, something like that.
That's a lot.
It's a lot.
That's a lot. It's longer than I've been around.
Well, that's, yeah, that's accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's accurate.
That's very
so, accurate. I don't know. You know, for those out there, I think that if you were at the SEMA show, if you went to SEMA Fest, throw your comments down below. Let us know what you think, how it went, what your opinions are. I think hearing opinions from different walks of life, I think, is extremely important. We were excited and proud to have Jax from Jack Builds It and Tavares. They came through, signed some stuff, and also, you know, released a lot of cool new products. So,
yeah, love the new.
Yeah, Forge stuff. And yes, I understand the delay. I'm tired of reading the comments about it. We're working on it. And it is legitimately coming this year, end of March, early March, end of February. You start to see a lot of that. You'll start to see part numbers landing. That's number one. New truck stuff, that's there. That's super dope. And in addition to the truck stuff, you also have the Mark One, which is pretty sick.
I'm a big, big fan of that Mark One.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
It's for your people.
It's my people's. It's for my people's. We like the people's here. Yeah. We put it there.
Yeah. So your people's now have a wheel. So
can't wait.
Yeah, it's cool. And the aero disc and all the cool caps, good quality accessories. It's going to be fun to see what there are. But we're going to do, you know, stay tuned. We're going to do a bunch of recapping and little videos and some other things. That's it. Take care of yourself. We'll catch you next week.
Peace out.